With the Orange Is the New Black final season out today, how that show marked the end of portion control when it comes to media consumption. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Ahead of the central bank's big decision on interest rates next week, there are new data showing the U.S. economy grew at a 2.1% annual rate in the spring into early summer quarter. Consumers were exuberant, businesses not as much. Some nuance is necessary here. On Fridays, we consult Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
All right, so annual rate. The growth last quarter was in line with expectations, but not as good as the quarter before.
Yeah, growth is slowing down. And on top of that, we had contributions this quarter from only two sectors, consumption and government lifted growth. Everything else took away.
Took away included business investment. Why are businesses reining in their horns? I mean, I could guess, but why don't you say it?
It is a little weird, right? With consumption up 4.3%, you would expect that businesses would be spending more to support that strong consumption. But, you know, it's sort of proof that it's very difficult to make investment decisions, particularly when you're sourcing goods and assembly and parts overseas, and you can't be sure that you'll be able to get those goods in the future. I think, you know, trade disruption is having a major impact.
So trade war story with the business investment. Yet look at these consumers, the largest percentage increase in consumer spending in a quarter in about 4.5 years.
Yeah, no, it really was terrific. But I think the right way to look at that is to average it with the weak growth we had in the first quarter. And the reason it was weak was that federal employees and federal contractors were not paid during the government shutdown, and they delayed quite a few purchases, especially big tickets. So what that means is, for example, auto sales were very strong compared to the first quarter, but they were really weak in the first quarter. And I think the right way, again, to look at that, average the two together, you see consumer spending growth in the first half about 2.5%, which is solid. It's good. But it's not quite as spectacular as it looks on the surface in the quarter.
All right. Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thanks for the briefing.
Thank you, David.
How is this playing out in markets? The Dow up 53 points, 0.2%. S&P up 0.5%. NASDAQ up 0.9%. The benchmark U.S. 10-year interest rate up slightly now, 2.07%. Congress is getting ready to start its summer recess. The House breaks later today. The Senate is in session for one more week. Members of Congress won't be back until after Labor Day. Sure. Beach, lake, town halls, and fundraising, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
These days, control of Congress flips back and forth between the parties, and members of Congress are more likely to be challenged in a primary. There aren't as many safe seats. Incumbents need more money than ever.
There's really no time off.
But Republican campaign strategist Michael Duhaime says at least summer fundraisers can be fun. Barbecues or beach parties. There was one he used to go to every year on the Jersey Shore.
I put $50 or $100 down to go probably eat as much as I wanted and hang out with a lot of people all day. And that's the kind of fun that I think you can do in the summertime.
The fundraising is less intense this summer because there's no election around the corner. Still, Stetson University law professor Chara Torres-Spellacy says candidates do have to raise a big chunk of change.
If you're running for a House seat, you essentially need to raise at least $1 million to win.
She says Senate races cost multiple millions. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Orange Is the New Black wasn't just fabulous when it began in 2013. It was also one of the first big forays into original content by Netflix. The show's seventh and final season launches today. It's a show that really changed that industry. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
Stranger Things, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, The Crown. Before all of them, there was Orange Is the New Black.
The animals, trap, trap. claptrap till the cage is full.
The show is about a couple dozen women who are serving time in a federal prison, including Piper Chapman, who was convicted on drug charges. Netflix dropped all 13 episodes of the first season at once, and that was pretty groundbreaking. Alfred L. Martin Jr. teaches media studies at the University of Iowa.
Orange is New Black really kind of instituted this notion of binge watching and the idea that we don't have to wait a week to see what happens next to Piper and company.
Binge watching wasn't entirely new. Anyone who spent an entire day in pajamas watching Law & Order SVU reruns on TV can attest to that. It's so hard to break away. Elena Levine at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee says Netflix noticed this on its own platform.
Netflix had seen some evidence of people doing that on the, you know, network and cable shows that they were carrying, and people would just watch episode after episode.
So it decided to try this new model with original shows. First, House of Cards, and a few months later, Orange is the New Black. The show was very bingeable. It had lots of cliffhangers and complex, relatable women. It quickly shifted its focus from Piper, who's wealthy and white, to a diverse set of characters. Other women who were Black, white, Latina, Asian, LGBTQ, and who came from many economic backgrounds. Elisa Perrin teaches television studies at the University of Texas at Austin.
It was such a refreshing breath of fresh air to have an ensemble cast that was so varied in their perspectives and experiences.
Netflix says more than 100 million people have watched Orange is the New Black. Many of them will no doubt be binging it this weekend. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
We also chat today with a fellow who went to a Rolling Stones concert this summer and came back with a lesson on retirement. That is not a reference to Mick Jagger turning 76, which he did today. Happy birthday. But because it's Marketplace here, we draw a direct line between the Stones and annuities, those savings vehicles that can pay out as long as you live. Marketplace.org if you missed that on the air. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.